the Revelation chapter 2. Book of the Revelation chapter 2. Counterfeit Christians, fakers, frauds. Book of the Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Counterfeits. Verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. God rich, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. Counterfeit. False. And then we looked at Matthew chapter 22. How do you detect a counterfeit? How do you detect a false one? Matthew chapter 22. Verse 42. Verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, notice the questions, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? Your answer to those two questions determine your eternal destiny. And if you're wrong on these two questions, you're wrong on everything else. What do you think of Christ? Philip said, my Lord and my God. Whose son is he? I told you last time about the time I was in a prison ministry. And I read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And one young man got up and said, I don't see how God could have a son because he didn't have a wife. How about it? Does that make sense? For us, yes. But then we looked at the word son. You've heard the expression, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. That's sense. Not that the father came first and the son came second, but that the son had all the characteristics of the father. The father is everlasting, therefore the son is everlasting. And I used to wonder as a little boy, where did God come from? Have you ever wondered that? He always was, but how could he always be? He had to start somewhere. I don't ask those questions anymore, I just believe. I can't answer them. No point in arguing. The son is characterized by all those things that characterize the father. Everything that's true of the father is true of the son. The father knows everything. Therefore, the son knows everything. Therefore, the father never taught the son anything. How about that? The father never had to reprimand the son because the father was perfect and the son was perfect. Now, fathom this one. The father and the son were from all eternity. The son was the same age as his son. The son was the same age as his father, pardon me. But he was older than his mother. How about it? When you get home, work that one out. He was the same age as his father, but he was older than his mother. You know, if you study the Bible, it'll thrill you. You don't have to go and buy those little 10-cent magazines. Cost a little more now. Right in this book, there are thrills. The psalmist said so. Now, today, we want to look at the subject, Jesus Christ as Jehovah. That's our subject for today. Let me call attention to this one fact. There are only four places in the entire Bible where the word Jehovah stands by itself. There are over 6,000 places in the Bible where the word Jehovah is compounded with another word. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shredekah, Jehovah, 6,000 of those, but just four where the word Jehovah is found in the King James Version, the New King James, and the New American Standard. Jesus is Jehovah. Turn with me, please, to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. I'm going to look at just one proof today, maybe two. Numbers chapter 21, verse 5. Jesus is Jehovah. 21, verse 5. The people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, neither is there any water. Our souls loathe us like bread. And the Lord. Please notice the spelling there. All capital letters. We're going to see what that means in a little while. Sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people and much of the people died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord." 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 9. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ. As some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Who destroyed them in the Old Testament? The Lord. What does this verse say? The Lord may destroy. Now, before we go any further, we have to look up this word Lord. Psalm 110. That'll give it to us first. Psalm 110. And beloved, let me tell you, you young folks, Bible study is thrilling. Did you know that? You sit down and study the Bible, and you just have to sit still, the thrill. Psalm 110, did I say? Yes. And verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord. How is the Lord spelled? L-O-R-D with all capital letters. All right? Is that the way your Bible reads? All capital letters for Lord? Fine. Said unto my Lord. Well, but this Lord is not all capital letters. Interesting, isn't it? The Lord in capital letters said unto my Lord with what I used to call, what they taught me was common letters. I think today you call them lowercase letters. Am I right? Lowercase. Lord with uppercase letters and Lord with an uppercase L and all lowercase. Why that? What's the meaning of that? Verse 4. The Lord, all capital letters, has sworn and will not repent, though I'm a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 5. The Lord, but this time capital L and all small letters. Have you ever wondered about that? The Bible is a wonderful book. Do you think the printer ran out of ink? No, he didn't run out of ink. There is a divine reason why Lord is spelt with all capitals and then with small letters. Let's look at one more. Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 14. Isaiah 22, verse 14. Are we all there? It was revealed in mine ear by the Lord. All capital letters. Am I right? Surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die, saith the Lord. But no capital letters. How do you explain that? I ask again, did the printer run out of ink? Well, why did he do this? And it goes back to the Old Testament. The Lord's name, this Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. They shall say to me, what is his name? What is the name of this God? Verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am. I am. Now that I am comes from a Hebrew verb, meaning to be. You remember when you were studying your foreign languages, you always had that word to be, and in the present tense, I am. I am. What is I am? Not when we say it, when the Lord said it. He meant, I am unoriginated. I am. I am uncaused. I am underived. I am self-sufficient. Totally independent. I am. And that's what Jehovah means. And wherever you find in the Bible, L-O-R-D in capital letters stands for Jehovah. The self-sufficient one. The I am. And as we have read, we didn't look at all the scriptures. Look them up when you're home. The Lord Jesus Christ is and was Jehovah. Self-sufficient, independent, uncaused. Now, I can't figure it out how he's uncaused, underived, unoriginated. Can you figure that out? All I can do is accept it. The Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah. We have looked at one scripture. What does that mean for us? What effect does that have on us that the Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah? How does that affect me? How does it affect all of us? 2 Peter chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father have a nature underived, uncaused. You can't account for it. He always was. There never was a time when God was not. Well, where did he come from? I don't know. And if you want thoughts that will burst your brain, think on this. The Lord, underived, uncaused, always there. God the Father and God the Son, always from past eternity, Father and Son. And as I pointed out, the Son was as old as his Father, but he was older than his mother. And when you get home, work that one out. But what does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with us? The Father and the Son, underived, uncaused, always existed. What does that have to do with me? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant, bondservant, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to holy glory and virtue. Now, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Can you take that in? Underived, unoriginated, always was, and I'm a share of the divine nature. Boy, that's enough to make the body burst. I am a sharer of the divine nature. You who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are sharers of the divine nature. The divine nature is within us. How does that make you feel? Makes you feel pretty? Makes you feel very small and at the same time very happy. You remember when you graduated from high school, college, postgraduate? The man conferring the degrees always said, I graduate you and I confer such and such a degree upon you with all the privileges and responsibilities. We have a great privilege to have the divine nature within us. That's a privilege. God's own nature in me. But I have a responsibility. And that's what we want to look at today. The responsibility. That divine nature within me, I have a responsibility. Let's read on. Verse 4 again, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We are partakers of the divine nature. Let's remember that. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world, giving all diligence. This is to be the response. The responsibility to the privilege. Besides this, giving all diligence, application, add to your faith. Now, the word add isn't the word that we, you see, well, here's my hand, then I add my other hand. That's not what it means. It means develop. A child doesn't develop by adding a toe here, and then a finger there, and then an eye there, and then an ear. That's adding. The thought here is develop. All of these things develop at one and the same time. We are to develop as partakers of the divine nature. Faith. What is faith? Our faith is to develop. What is faith? We know what faith is. Belief in God. How much belief do we have? In the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ classifies faith. In Mark 4 and 45, no faith. Oh my. Any believer here with no faith? No confidence in God? Someone has said that no faith is confidence in the devil. No faith. Then the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in Luke 7 and 9, great faith. Oh, beloved, how great is your faith? Is your faith expanding? Is it increasing? Is it progressing? And at another point he said, little faith. Another point he said, weak in faith. Vain faith. Decreased faith. Increased faith. Growing in faith. Beloved, as we go on in the work of the Lord, our faith is to develop. What about it, beloved? Is our faith developing? Do we believe God? Do we trust Him? Do we just acknowledge Him as being able to do all things? Growing faith. And I like the one that Paul speaks of, Timothy and his mother. Unfeigned faith. Real faith. Genuine faith. As partakers of the divine nature, our faith is to grow, is to increase, is to develop. And better produce. Faith. To your faith, add what? Virtue. Now, virtue is an interesting word. It comes from a word meaning strength. Stamina, force. You have to have faith, stamina in the work of the Lord. Strength. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 4, please. Faith, stamina, virtue. Virtue. Pardon me, Daniel chapter 3. Develop in your faith virtue, stamina. Daniel chapter 3. Verse 15. Now if ye be ready, that at what time of the year, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, buckle, psaltery, dulcimer. Do you know that in the world today, all the instruments, wherever you hear a lot of noise and a lot of music, there's something wrong. Goes way back to the time of Babylon. All these instruments making all this racket, I call it. You know that something's wrong. But let's read on. Ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, We are not careful to answer thee. We are not talking to you in tongue, with tongue in cheek. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will. If not, be it known unto you, O King, we will not. Oh my, that's virtue. That's stamina. That's what we need to develop. Stand up for Jesus. That's virtue. Book of Job. Chapter 11. Virtue. Stamina. Courage. Book of Job, chapter 11, verse 15. You'll excuse me, I have the wrong scripture. But you remember what Job said? Though he slay me, I will trust him. That's virtue. That's standing up for Jesus. Story is told in Russia during World War II. There was an assembly of believers just like this, and this man came in with a gun. Every one of you that is afraid to die for Jesus, please leave. Very few were left. Then he came and sat down with the others and said, I'm one of you. I'm willing to die for Jesus. That's virtue. That's what we are to develop. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace. A damsel came unto him and said, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were them that were with him, This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them that betrayed, your speech betrays you. He began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He wasn't standing up. He wasn't showing virtue. But let's not think little of Peter. Come with me now to Acts chapter 2. He didn't stand up for the Lord then. But he developed. Acts chapter 2. Verse 14. Day of Pentecost. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Jerusalem, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and read all that Peter said. Oh yes, he denied the Lord the first time. But now he was standing up with vow. He had improved. He had developed. Chapter 4. Verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. We often think of Peter denying the Lord, but Peter developed and was standing firm for the Lord. Are we standing for the Lord, beloved? Our privilege is to be partakers of the divine nature. But our responsibility is to grow in faith and develop in strength. Stand for the Lord. And those of you that are in school, I tell you on the basis of experience, stand up for Jesus. Do you hear me? Stand up for Jesus. I remember one time in the course of postgraduate training, three of us were at the same level of training. And the chief of surgery, he was hard on me. We had an expression, then he was on me like whiteys on rice. Have you ever heard that? I just pray. And you know, in Colossians 3, you read, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And I tell you, I did that work as unto the Lord. I wasn't doing it for the chief of the service. I did it as unto the Lord. But he always asked me the hardest questions, the toughest questions. He gave me the toughest assignments. Lord, why? How can I please this man? One morning, I came on the ward, and the charge nurse said to me, Dr. Wright said something about you I think you ought to know. And I said, at last I'm going to find out what it is when I'm lacking. I said, what did Dr. Wright say? Dr. Wright said, whenever I want something done right, I call on God. Honor the Lord. I tell you, in the middle of that ward, I stood up by that nurse, tears came to my eyes, and I said, thank you, Lord. Stand up for Jesus. In school, at home, wherever you are. Don't be embarrassed. Oh, I like this one. 2 Samuel, please. Develop. Improve. Grow. We are partakers of the divine nature. That's our privilege. Our responsibility is to develop in faith. Develop in strength. Stand for the Lord. Develop in virtue, courage. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verse 8. I guess I shouldn't say this, but it's true. You know, I have certain scriptures that I call my favorites. Where's Rebecca here? Rebecca has her favorite songs. I remember that. I have favorite scriptures, and this is one of them. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Ezrite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. That's valor. That's what we require to do. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. The men of Israel were gone. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hands were weary and his sword clung, hand clung to the sword. That man was fighting and holding so tight as he fought. He couldn't release his hand. That's virtue. That's what we need, to stand for the Lord regardless of all around. I love this country. My father always said, this country is the best place in the world for you, with all its faults. Oh, but we're having a number of people against the Lord in the Congress. I won't call any names. But in the Congress, you have men and women. If they had their way, they'd get rid of us at one blow. Sad condition in this country. But in the midst of us, let us be bold. Let us stand firm for the Lord. Verse 18. Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. He lifted up his spear against 300, slew them, and had the name among them. Was he not most noble of three? Therefore he was their captain, howbeit he attained not unto the first three. Benaiah, that's smart, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. He slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with his staff, plucked a spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him. That's valor. And that is the way that we are to contend in this world. We are not to be ashamed of the gospel. Paul says, I am not ashamed. Oh, beloved, again I say, young folks, wherever you go, don't you be ashamed of the gospel. They will laugh at you. Oh, they laughed at me a whole lot, I've told you. They had these things called collations, you know, before the scientific meeting. You have a collation. You go in there. I see my daughter laughs. She tells me that I used the wrong word. Going to this meeting, and before you go to the scientific part, you stop at the, well, there's a table, something set up there, and have a drink. And Garns would come in and they say, oh, here comes Garns. He only drinks water. Any harm? I'm here. And many of them have gone on. I think of one classmate and his brother. Smart fellow. Made the honor society. But alcohol was his doom. And he died of a diseased liver from alcohol. Alcohol is the great destroyer. Destroys the family, destroys the individual, it just destroys. Stand firm for the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. You know, I'm about through. I don't want to say any more. We have some more characteristics that we ought to develop. But this is enough for now. Develop in faith and in fortitude, in stamina, stand firm for the Lord. And now shall we close in singing a hymn. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. Well, where is the hymn? I had it in here.